All right. Anxiety. First of all, before we dive in, I just want to say that a little bit about why this series. This started months ago at a staff meeting. When we started thinking about this year and what sermon series could be really helpful for the people of our church family. And it was recognized amongst all of us that anxiety is a big deal at Nanaimo Alliance Church. Many of us struggle with anxiety to various degrees. And we thought, this is something that we want to tackle. Now, we all struggle with different things. Anxiety might not be something that you deal with a lot, but I'll almost guarantee you deal with it at least a little. You probably know someone, though, who deals with it a lot. And if you deal with anxiety, it could be so bad to be even crippling to you. I want you to know that you're not defective. You're not a bad Christian. We're happy to have you here. All the anxious are welcome at Nanaimo Alliance Church. Just like all other people who struggle with whatever it is they struggle with, we are all here together. So you are welcome. Sometimes anxiety is a bigger deal for some because if you've ever dealt with trauma in your life or a childhood that wasn't stable, you're dealing with mental health, I want you to know there's no judgment here because we all struggle with different things. So let's start looking at anxiety, and it's going to really help us to, first of all, define what anxiety is. And I learned this definition, believe it or not, way back in seminary almost a quarter of a century ago, and it served me pretty well. This, I hope, will serve you well when you think about anxiety. Anxiety is fear projected to the future. Fear projected to the future. We need to call anxiety what it is. It's fear. Anxiety is fear projected to the future. For example, you might send an email to someone, and then you worry, well, how are they going to receive it? Will they understand it? Well, how will they react to it? What kind of emotions will they have? None of these things you can control. That's fear projected to the future, which is why the serenity prayer, the little peace prayer, is, Lord, help me to accept the things I cannot change. You cannot change how people react. You cannot change the future. There are certain things that we can change, certain things that we cannot change. And it's good to know the difference. Now, I need to kind of let you in on a little secret. If you have ever shaken my hand before the service, and some of you have been very surprised to find out my hand is often ice cold. And there's the usual jokes about, you know, cold hands, warm heart, and blah, blah, blah. Heard that one for 25 years now. But the real issue is, I'm nervous. I'm anxious. This is terrifying. What I do right now is terrifying. Imagine the most important part of your job, doing it publicly, weekly, in front of your friends and family for all to critique. Picture. Thank you. I haven't even got to my first point yet, but thank you. And so the reason I tell you that is not to make you feel sorry for me. It's so you understand this series isn't me telling you to get your life together and be less anxious. This is for all of us. Because I think peace is something God wants to give all of us. And here's where I want to start a little bit this morning. Jesus said something that has often puzzled me, and more than puzzled me, it's made me kind of wonder whether it's true or not. He said, I am leaving you with a gift, and I've mentioned this verse in the past weeks before. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. And the thing that troubles me about that is I wonder if it's true. Because I don't know about you, but I know people who do not follow Jesus, and their life looks like a Zen garden. Right? They're just cool, calm, they breeze through life, no big deal. I know people who are followers of Jesus who have chewed their fingernails down to the nub because they're anxious all the time. So how can that be true? How could he be leaving us this peace of mind and heart? It doesn't seem to be true in real experience. Well, I am convinced that there's more to this than meets the eye. That the purpose of this entire series really rests right here. Because I believe this gift that he has given his followers has often been received but not opened and enjoyed. We've shaken the box. We may have torn at the corners a little bit, maybe even peek inside just a wee bit, but we haven't fully opened it up and enjoyed this gift that Jesus offers to Nanaimo Alliance Church today. And so we're going to spend the next few weeks opening up this gift and enjoying it. And if you are joining us for the first time, and I know many of you are, I just want you to sit back, relax, listen. There's no judgment for you. Soak in what I'm about to say. It could change your life. And here's the first lesson in this series. The first thing I want you to remember all week long is this, that peace is a person. Peace is a person. I started off with this series wondering, why are we so anxious? Is this because, you know, now in 2020, we're really good at diagnosing anxiety and we've put a label on it, you know, that's always been around? And to some degree, that's probably true. But I also think that there are certain things that have changed in the last few years that are contributing to a greater sense of anxiety. And there's probably several, but I just want to point out a couple that you and I are all dealing with that previous generations didn't have to deal with. The first one is information overload. There was a time, 100 years ago, the only news you'd hear would be local news. And it was probably in the form of gossip. And it was probably more about scandal than anything else. And stuff outside in the world, you wouldn't hear about it. Maybe eventually, weeks or months later. But then came newspapers. And once a day, maybe once a week, you would start to read about things that would happen in other parts of the world, often old news. That sort of thing. Then came television. And all of a sudden, news came once or twice a day, and you could see things that had happened that very day from around the world. By the way, these things that we're seeing, these are not happy stories. These are the worst of things going on around in the world that are gleaned globally and given to you to digest. Now, today, we have these babies. You can get news all the time. I can look at news right now. And it's all the worst things that are going on in our world. Information overload. I don't know that we are designed to digest all the terrible things that are going on in the world on a daily basis. It's creating the sense that our world is unstable. And it's horrifying, and it leaves us feeling anxious, of course. Not only, by the way, I was thinking about this morning, it's not only information coming in, it's information about us going out. Previous generations didn't have to worry about when you mess up, and this is more true of younger generations, when you mess up, everybody's going to know in your school, in your family, everybody. Didn't have to worry about that before. Makes me anxious just talking about it. Everything I say goes all around the world. Anyway, welcome all those of you who are on the internet. Second is lack of connection. It wasn't that long ago where the vast majority of people would spend their entire lives in a small geographic circle. They would never leave. And in that, there's some beautiful things. greater chance of being connected to family, long-term friends, community, church. But now, in our affluent society, where we move all over the place on a regular basis, we pick up, we uproot, we go somewhere else, there's a disconnect going on. Many of you have not lived here for very long. Some of you probably lived here for a while. But you know how disconnecting it feels to leave your friends and family somewhere else and find yourself in another place and then in another place and then in another place. And you don't have this connection. And why does this have to do with anxiety? Because you feel like you're one mistake away from homelessness, from something truly terrible happening. Who do you count on when you don't have friends and family right around you? Oh, it's great that they're, you know, a province or whatever away, or several hours away. But when you need help right now, who have you got? Maybe nobody. Leaves us feeling very isolated, alone, anxious. Just those two things alone are new to life in 2020. That increase our sense of anxiety, which, by the way, to me, makes being part of a church even more important and loving each other even more important. That's another sermon, another time. Okay, moving on. I want to talk about this event from Jesus' life. This event that John read earlier was so profound to the disciples that out of the four biographies of Jesus' life, three of them recorded this same story. So if you want to read it in three different angles, you can read it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. All contain this story. It was so profound. And the scene here is Jesus just got finished a long day of ministry. He was very, very tired. Have you ever been so tired you can barely keep your eyes open? Have you ever been so tired that your body is actually cold because it's trying to make you go to sleep? Yeah? That's how tired Jesus is as we start this story, okay? Here we go. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. Now, that looks like nothing, but what's Jesus doing? See, right now, Jesus is on the west side of the Sea of Galilee. That's a very populated area on the west side. On the east side, not so populated. He says, "Boys, let's go camping. Let's go to the other side of the lake where we can be alone. Get some downtime, get some rest." He's tired. He's had enough. Okay? Continue on. "But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water." Now, there's something that you might not know about the Sea of Galilee. It's a really weird piece of water. Imagine going down to sea level, Departure Bay. You go down to Departure Bay. You drill a hole down 200 meters. That's the top of the Sea of Galilee. It is this sea that's kind of in this hole way below sea level. Now, something else you might not know, it's close by, is a mountain, Mount Hermon, which stands 2.8 kilometers tall. So when winds come whipping over Mount Hermon, they come sliding down Mount Hermon and into this hole in the earth of the Sea of Galilee. It creates some tremendous storms. It's a 3-kilometer drop, and just to give you some perspective, that's 3 of Mount Benson. Imagine wind coming 3 times from the height of Mount Benson, swooping down into Nanaimo. Imagine what kind of havoc that could cause. That's what's going on here. And some of these guys were career fishermen, but even this storm freaked them out. Okay? They'd spent some of them their lives on the Sea of Galilee. This was a tremendous storm. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion, and that's where I lost it. When I read that story as a kid, I thought, there is no way that that happened. There is no way. I mean, I've been on a boat in a storm. I am not sleeping through that. But then I became an adult. And I realized how tired a person could really get. And to give you some context as to how even I can sleep through some horrendous things. My wife informs me I'm a bit of a snorer. Something along the lines of an asthmatic rhino with, a sinus infection kind of thing. And so if I could sleep through my own horrible snoring, maybe I could sleep through a storm. But probably all of us have been so tired where we have one of those sleeps where we wake up and we don't know where we are or what we're doing. That's the kind of sleep that Jesus is having. He is wiped right out. Continues on, the disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" This is great. This was no gentle, "Hey, Jesus, got a bit of a problem here. Can you help us out?" What does it say they did to him? They shouted at him, "Hey, Jesus, don't you care?" Ooh, don't you care? Imagine someone waking you up, shouting at you, and their first words are, "Don't you care?" Now, for some of you who put your pastor on a pedestal, I have a little news to share with you. I'm going to tell you the difference between how Jesus responded and how I would have responded. Because if someone woke me up shouting and they said, "Don't you care?" I would have been pretty ticked off and I would have probably given them evidence about, "Well, of course I care, and here's how I care, and here's how much I care." You know, I'd probably take them down a high holy notch, you know? But that's me. And I sin. Jesus doesn't suffer from the same insecurities as I do, fortunately. And he bypasses this whole insult, "Don't you care that we're going to drown?" I mean, in essence, the disciples are asking, "Are you just an apathetic, uncaring, cold-hearted jerk? What's wrong with you? Don't you care, Jesus? We can't handle what's going on. Don't you care that we're scared? Don't you care that I don't know what to do? Don't you care?" We'll continue on in the story. We'll come back to this. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Bypassing all defensiveness, he just dealt with the issue. And the word rebuke here, by the way, is the same word that you'd use in the original language as a teacher and a student, or a parent and a child. And the exact phrasing, or the exact translation would be muzzled and stay muzzled. That's what he said. Be muzzled and stay muzzled. Now, a few weeks ago, our dishwasher broke down, just in time for the holidays. Marvelous. Still haven't gotten it fixed yet. But we called a technician because there's a technician for dishwashers. I've had problems with my ankle as of the last few months. I went to a technician about my ankle. You can go to a technician regarding your automobile, regarding your mental health. There's a technician for almost everything. What technician do you go to about the weather? Who fixes the weather? Well, who are you going to call to fix the weather? Not even the Ghostbusters can handle that. In this jaw-dropping moment, the disciples watch as what they think is a carpenter's kid scolding the weather, they see something completely different. They see creation being commanded by the Creator. They see creation commanded by the Creator. Be muzzled and stay muzzled, he says. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was great calm. Now, you have to understand there's two miracles that just took place in this. Because anyone who's been on the water knows if you stop the wind, the waves will keep rolling on for miles. Right? If you stop the waves, but the wind is still blowing, it's just a matter of time before they whip up again, and before long, you've got the same problem. Jesus tackled both the cause, the wind, and the effect, the waves. The cause and the effect. He dealt with them both at the same time. Two miracles at once. And of course, these are fishermen, right? They get this. So, what does that look like when it comes to our own peace? Well, or anxiety. Our cause might be unloving parents. Some of us have had unloving parents. And the effect might be tremendous insecurity and anxiety about relationships. The cause in our life might be we struggled. We had times of struggling financially. And the effect is we have anxiety about money and maybe we're actually a little greedy. Jesus deals with both. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Now, often when people read that, they translate faith as religion. Don't you have religion? Haven't you converted to Christianity? Don't you have faith? But a better translation, a better way of looking at that phrase, do you still have no trust? Don't you trust me? That's the question Jesus is asking. Don't you trust me? Why are you afraid? And Jesus connects two things that it's so important to understand as we continue on. For a lot of people, they think the opposite of trust or faith is doubt. And Jesus says, no, the opposite of faith or trust is not doubt. Doubt is struggling to believe. The opposite of faith or trust is fear. It's fear. Fear is a lack of trust. It is the root of anxiety. Anytime you and I feel anxiety, it is because we have a lack of trust. We finish the story like this. The disciples were absolutely terrified. That is such a human reaction. If you and I saw this, wouldn't you be terrified too? And they ask a very important question. Who is this man? Who is this? They asked each other, even the wind and waves obey him. See, they caught on that there's two miracles going on here. Even the wind and the waves obey him. Who is this? So, they realized in that moment, this is not just a carpenter's kid. This is not some kind of wandering prophet. This is not some hippie love guru. He's not a first century motivational speaker. This is a guy who muzzles wind and waves. In short, he fixes the weather. Four questions were asked in this story. Four questions that are so pertinent to us at Nanaimo Alliance Church in 2020. The first question was asked by the disciples, "Don't you care?" Then Jesus asked two really important questions. He said, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no trust?" And then the disciples finished with, "Who is this?" I want to just look at the top question and the bottom question. The one the disciples asked, because the way that you and I answer those same questions will determine your level of anxiety. "Don't you care?" is a question we often ask God. Don't you care? Is God really loving? Is he disengaged? Does he play favorites? Does he take bribes? Don't you care? Our anxiety says, no, God doesn't care. And by the way, I just want to say, before I continue on in this, please understand, we're talking about generalized anxiety. Some of us may deal with specific anxiety in things, and you may need to get some extra help with that, so I don't want you thinking all anxiety is the same. But don't you care? Anxiety, generalized anxiety, says no. And Jesus got up and took care of the cause and effect. It was not a personal need of Jesus. He didn't do it for his sake. Without a firm belief in Jesus' love, we will be anxious. When we believe Jesus loves me, that brings peace, because peace is a person. When the disciples asked, "Don't you care, Jesus?" Jesus' response was, "Hold my pillow. I'll show you." So that was the first question. Don't you care? Such an important question. The second question that the disciples asked was this one. Who is this? How do you answer that question? I mean, it's great if you have someone in your life who cares about you. That's wonderful. Can they fix your weather? Can they fix your storms? Can they deal with the cause and effect of the storms of your life? Jesus rebuked the storm. He muzzled the storm because he is God in the flesh. There is no storm he can't handle. No emergency catches Jesus off guard. There is no worry he can't calm. No hurt that cannot be used for good. There is nothing to Jesus that spirals out of control. Want to make sure you're still with me. Do you believe that God loves you and is powerful enough to calm your storm? How do you answer those questions? Do you care? Who is this? How do you answer those questions? Be careful now. Because you might think, oh, the right answer is, of course I know Jesus loves me. And of course I know he's powerful. But the level of anxiety we have in our hearts betrays what we really believe. Now again, this goal of this series is not zero anxiety, but it's to have prolonged peace. There are things that will make us anxious. But our job here in this series is to trust Jesus more. Let's go back to Jesus' promise. Remember what his promise was? I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. A lot of people, they find peace in a walk through the woods, or a song, or a massage, or a meditation, or yoga. The problem is, what happens when that class is over? What happens when that walk is done? What happens when you have to go back to the office? What happens when you have to go back to your marriage? Back to the storm. See, Jesus isn't offering a feeling. He's offering himself. Because peace is a person. Peace is a person. It's not an exercise. It's not a chant. It's not an activity. It's not a picturesque view. Jesus is our storm whisperer who deals with both cause and effect of the anxiety in our lives. Jesus doesn't offer feeling. He offers himself. And if you're new here and you're not even too sure there is a God. Hey, I just want to know you're welcome here. I'm glad you're here. And if you're listening online, I'm glad you're listening online. And here's something that you could do. If there's one little thing that you could do this week, try this one. Maybe you've never prayed before, but try this one. Just say, Jesus, can you show me how to trust you? If you're there, can you show me how to trust you? That's it. You can write that down. Jesus, can you show me how to trust you? One of the questions that I had about this story, and it's a question you might have too, is why? Why did Jesus let them experience the storm? He knew it was coming, and he slept through a good part of it. Why? Why did Jesus let them experience this storm? Amazingly, he didn't do anything about their anxiety, their fear, until they approached him for help. Did you notice that? Jesus didn't do anything until they approached him. And they did it in a really awful way. Don't you care, Jesus? What's the matter with you? Are you some kind of cold-hearted guy? And Jesus just brushed by that and he said, hey, at least they asked. Let me deal with it. How would the disciples ever learn that Jesus loves them and can save them if they never experienced the storm? And some of us in this room right now are going through a storm. And maybe you've never asked Jesus to help you with the storm. And maybe you wonder why Jesus is taking so long to calm the wind and the waves in your storm. He's building your trust. Some of us have things pretty good right now. New Year, just got off of the holidays, feeling pretty good. Monday's looking a little, but generally things are pretty good. There might be storms in 2020 you don't know anything about. Why would Jesus allow you to go through those storms? So that you could learn to trust that he not only can help you as God, he wants to help you. He loves you, and he's powerful. Don't you care? Yes, he does. Who is this? God Almighty. In this series, we already looked at the root of anxiety. We're going to look next week at the cost of anxiety, then the cure for anxiety. And then we're going to go through a number of cures, by the way. And this is what I love, and this is what I'm so excited about bringing you, is the Bible gives us some hands-on, really practical stuff to deal with anxiety. Because God knew we're going to be anxious about things. The most common command in Scripture is, do not be afraid. So there's a number of cures, a cure for anxiety in creation, cure for anxiety in the clock, and then in February we're going to look at the cure for anxiety in communication, the cure for anxiety in care, the cure for anxiety in the kingdom, and we're going to wrap it up with the calamity of anxiety at the end of February. Again, my hope is that this gift that Jesus offers us, this gift that he says is ours to take and enjoy, will be unwrapped by every single person that listens to this series and fully enjoyed. And if you do not know Jesus yet to receive this gift, my hope is that by the end of this series you will receive Jesus and experience this gift. Who are you and do you care? These are the questions that we have before us. And the questions that God is going to keep coming back to us time and time and time again is, why are you afraid? Don't you trust me? Why are you afraid? Don't you trust me? Do you hear him talking to you now? In this moment, do you hear the Spirit speaking to you? Why are you afraid? Don't you trust me? Peace is a person. His name is Jesus. He loves you, and he is more than powerful enough to deal with the storms in your life. I'm going to get our music team to come on up this time. Lead us in a song. We will deal with anxiety. But in all of this, Jesus, you are offering yourself to us. You are the one who calms our storms. You deal with both cause and effect, and you wait until we come to you. And you are more than willing, and you are more than powerful. So, Lord Jesus, I ask that you would help us as a church to trust you more, that we could open up this gift of peace of heart and mind and enjoy it to its fullest, that our lives would be filled and permeated by peace, the peace that you give, this gift that you give us, Lord, may we receive it and enjoy it and explore it. Thank you, Jesus, for this gift. May we as a church be seen as people of incredible peace as we grow to trust in you. We pray it in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. If you would like further prayer for anything, there's going to be wonderful people up here who will love to pray for you. After 10 minutes or so, they're going to go into the Newcastle room. So you can join them there. Thank you. God bless you.